The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
From the proclamation of a new empire to preparation for the leveling of the playing field for all people, to baptism, to temptation and wild beasts and the help of angels, and the calling of disciples who abandon their nets and family, a lot of action is packed into the first 20 verses of the Gospel of Mark. And it all leads to this short scene, this first public act of Jesus' ministry. The Gospel writer Mark doesn't waste any time at arriving at this scene. It is the Sabbath, the week's sacred day of rest and remembrance. Jesus is in Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee, and he enters the synagogue to teach. Everyone is astounded. He's obviously insightful and wise. They say he has a kind of authority unlike those who actually have authority. It's enthralling, I guess, until someone with an unclean spirit enters the place. "What have you to do with us?" he says. What have you to do with us? Not with me, with us. See, the unclean spirit commands the whole room, and it speaks for everyone with absolutely no regard to what was going on before. Gone is the respect, the awe, the astonishment, the recognition of a new authority, and in their place is a kind of gross confrontation, a demand, and a nasty presence that assumes it knows more than Jesus. That's the way it is with us. That's the way it is with unclean spirits. And the problem with unclean spirits these days is threefold. First, we don't think they exist. Second, everybody has one. Everybody has at least one. And three, they do a lot of damage. They do a lot of damage both to the people who have them and to everyone else who happens to be around. We're used to thinking of unclean spirits as demons or the demonic, but in reality, an unclean spirit is anything that dominates you. An unclean spirit is anything that renders you utterly powerless. And by you, I mean that true you. The Spirit of God created you, the child of God you, the baptized and claimed you. An unclean spirit is anything that dominates that full expression of yourself and renders you helpless. no amount of positive thinking, no amount of willpower, no advice from anyone else, no medical treatment, no therapy will make a difference when the unclean spirit has a hold of you. Unclean spirits drive us inward. They drive us inward with shame and fear. They produce in us a lack of self-esteem and a lack of self-confidence, and they cause us to hide. Unclean spirits challenge the heart of our families and our communities. And they pose to us a number of questions. Who are we going to be? Are we going to be the kind of people who bury our weaknesses? Or are we going to seek truth and healing? Are we going to be the kind of people who let unclean spirits speak for our families and our communities? Or are we going to admit that the values that really matter in human life don't originate with us? Are we going to pretend that we have it all together and then become the measure by which we judge everyone else? Or are we going to beg Jesus to bring his new teaching and his new authority into our worship spaces, into our homes, into our hearts? This is the first act of Jesus' public ministry, the first one. His first act is to enter into a public space and to cast out everything that's unclean. This isn't the last step. This is the first step. He's telling us that ministry begins by making room for something new. That ministry begins by casting aside the things that would cause us despair and ineffectiveness. Those things that are dirty and nasty and tend to speak for the whole assembly. I'm here to tell you that in reality, unclean spirits are never gone completely. The things that dominate and threaten us personally and corporately have a way of clinging to us. They cling beyond the therapies and beyond the advice and beyond the conversations and yes, even beyond Jesus' new authority and teaching. They cling to us like tar on the bottom of our feet that just won't let go. I myself struggle with depression. I live on the edge of a black hole that threatens to swallow me up day by day. And maybe even worse than that is that I'm my own worst critic. I'm hard on myself. I expect more of myself than anyone else, and I never seem to let myself off the hook for anything. And it doesn't matter how closely I walk with Jesus. It does not matter how many times he touches me. It does not matter how many times I drag my sorry soul to the font. Those things cling to me. But yet it remains that Jesus' first public act of ministry is to come into the space and cast out everything that is unclean. He comes to us day after day after day and casts aside those things that would render us ineffective, those things that would damage our self-esteem and tell us we are less than. Those unclean things that cling so closely are shoved aside in his presence for something greater. And that is that we are called. The call upon our lives by Jesus the Christ makes all the difference in the world. Because even a depressed woman can answer a call. Even someone who beats themselves up mercilessly can answer a call. Even someone who is addicted can answer a call. Call and spirit temper all that try to dominate us. See, we're called by the one who has a different kind of spirit inside of him. And I love being Lutheran because we say that we're prepositional people. When we celebrate communion, we say, Jesus is in the bread. He's with the bread. He's under the bread. He's around the bread. He's beyond the bread. And prepositions in the Gospel of Mark matter. I invite you to grab your favorite Bible because you have to make a correction in it this morning. The correction is going to come to us from the Greek, and I cannot find this translation anywhere in any English translation, and yet there it is in the original Greek language. The gospel begins, as I said, in part with the baptism of Jesus. I'm looking at verse 10, and I'm going to ask you to circle a word. Chapter 1, verse 10. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, the text says. Sometimes it says toward him. But that word means into him. Jesus looked up and he saw the Holy Spirit descending from heaven into him. And with the Holy Spirit inside of him, he enters the synagogue. He can claim every person in the room and he can see everything clean and unclean because that is the power of our Holy Spirit. And he sees the man with the unclean spirit and he says, "Be silent and come out." Be silent and come out. Be silent and be shoved aside. Be silent and be made small. Be silent and become insignificant. So that there is room in this person for the Holy Spirit that is in me to descend and come in. Sometimes I hate my humanity. Sometimes I hate that I live on the edge of depression. These days I really hate how I beat myself up. But what I know about unclean spirits is that they can be tamed. They can be tamed at the font of baptism. And they can be tamed by the one who sees us. They can be tamed by the one who loves us. They can be tamed by the one who has the Holy Spirit inside of him. Because he comes to our holy places. He comes to our synagogues and our sanctuaries, our homes and our hearths. He comes to our dinner tables. He comes to the beds on which we lie our heads. And he brings with him a new teaching with authority. He commands the unclean spirits that cling so closely to shove aside. And like a dove, he offers the Holy Spirit to come and enter in their place, that they might become small, and that our call might become large. Those of you who know me say that I'm powerful. You say all kinds of lovely things about me. And that's what happens in a life when we respond to call. The voices of the community become louder than the voices inside. The attempt to answer a call is seen by the community, cherished by the community. Because the people in the community have their own failings. And when they see someone overcome weakness with good, it's inspiring. And that's the gift of our God. That's the true gift of our God, is inspiration, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that shoving aside of everything that would tell us we're worth nothing, to make a home for the one who tells us we're worth everything. What kind of community are we going to be? Are we going to hide all that's broken, all that challenges us, all that clings so closely with its nastiness? Or are we going to open the windows, share those things with one another, lead one another to the font, invite the Christ into our homes, that he might shove aside all that would tell us we're not worth anything? Because to him we're worth everything. And with the power of his Holy Spirit, we're called to be everything to one another. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, there's so much these days that's telling us we're not worth anything. The pandemic is causing us to deal in a realm of death, of confrontation and shutdown and isolation. The unclean spirits are close at hand. But we turn to you because at your baptism, the Holy Spirit came and entered in. And you bring your Holy Spirit to us and offer us that same gift, your Spirit dwelling within, and a call to love one another and be great with one another and inspire one another. And we pray you would give to your church everywhere that strength and that gift, that your inspiration might be seen in the world through us. And in so doing, those unclean things that torment us would be made small and shoved aside. In other words, we ask for the gifts that only you can give. And give us the good sense when we receive them to know that it's you who's given them. Amen.